left off last week, we were talking about the unique halacha of not just the regular yontif affecting avelus, but the unique yontif of chosan and akala. So Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechus Ksubas, a person was getting all ready to get married, has everything all prepared, and then the father of the chosan dies, and the brother of the kala dies. The Gemara says we're in a big pickle, because on the one hand, we want to be able to bury the mace, but the problem is burying the mace is going to lead us to observance of Shiva, which is going to prevent us from getting married. So the Gemara says the Chazal gave us a special kula to put the mace on hold. You put the mace on hold, and you have the chuppah first, and after you do the chuppah, so then the mitzvah of Simchas Chosan kicks in, and then you observe the whole week of Shiva Shemir Mishnah first, and then afterwards the Shiva Shemir Be'elus begin. So we left off last week with a question that all the Rishonim bothered with: how could Chazal let us pull off such a stunt? Isn't there a din of Avelos Deraisa, according to some Rishonim? The first day is considered to be an Avel Yom Rishon. An Avel Yom Rishon is Chayav Avelos Deraisa. The simple halacha is that Simchus Chosan Kal is only midrabbanan. Some Rishonim answered by saying Rachan Ami Simchus Chosan Kal is also Deraisa. But the simple pshat in the halacha is that Simchus Chosan Kal, even on the first day, is only midrabbanan. We have the scenario where a person is about to get married on Monday. So the mace dies on Monday morning, so we'll put the mace on hold, we'll do the chasana, and then on Monday afternoon we'll do the levaya. So then the person with the raisa should become obligated in avelos. So how can we let the simchas chas v'kala push off the avelos deraisa? So the Rashba has a chiddush to answer this question. The Rashba says that when the Gemara tells us that you push off the levaya, it means you push off the levaya till the next day. What did you accomplish by pushing it off till the next day? Because the only time that Avelus is deraisa, even if it is only if it's what's called Yom Miso Kvura. When we speak about Avel Yom Rishon being deraisa, according to some opinions, that means if it's mamish the day of the Misa at the Kvura itself. So over here, if the person dies on Monday, we do the chasana on the Monday afternoon, and we don't do the levaya till Tuesday, so now we have in effect circumvented Avelus deraisa. The only problem is that that seems to cause more problems than it solves. Because that's usually something that's awesome in a Torah. The Torah says, "Losolin and losolait." The Torah says, "The kikav b'kredu yomahud." There's a chi of the araisa to bury a person on that day. So what do you mean you're going to push it off? Because you want to have a chasana, so you can push off the kruel till tomorrow. That's terrible. That's a much more serious problem. That's a problem deraisa. So clearly, the Rashi's opinion is that that doesn't constitute an issa deraisa. That falls into the category of what's called halaleo lechvodo. Mishnah says in Maseches Sanhedrin that you're not allowed to delay a levaya unless you're delaying it lechavod hameis. Let's say you're waiting for a proper orange, you're waiting for tachrichim, or you're waiting for krovim to come. Usually that's the case that we have as manazah. So then the Mishnah says it's all right. Then you're allowed to delay a levaya. How did Chazal know the halaleo lechvodo is mutter? Because the Torah describes lo solin of lo sol eid ki kover to bread of yom ki kilas lekim toloi. The famous Rashi about that a person sees the human being hanging on the tree, so it says it's salam alakim in him, so that's a bizoyin for Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you see that the only time that the yisr of halara sameis, the only time it's also to delay levaya, is if it's being done to disgrace the mace. Person doesn't care about the mace. What do I care? I'll do the levaya in 3 days from now. What's the big deal? So if a person takes the mace lightly, that's considered to be an issur bizar in a mace. That's what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. But if you're doing it for other good reasons, namely you're doing it for the krovim to come, you're doing it to have a better hespedim, you're doing it to get a better orug, whenever it's being done to cover the mace, so that doesn't fall into the category of the issur altogether. So the Rashba's understanding that issur of halaras hameis, it's only violated if it's a derech bizayon, even if it's not being done lekavod hameis proper, but on the other hand, it's not being done derech bizayon, but it's being done somewhere in the middle. You're not enhancing the kavod hameis. It's not like you're getting more hespedim. On the other hand, the reason why you're delaying it is not because you're taking the mace lightly. The reason why you're delaying it is because you have an agenda. You have a real good reason. You have a justified reason that's not kavod hameis oriented. What's the justified reason? You want to get married. So that's okay. You're not doing a derech bizayon. Not that you're taking the mace lightly. If it wouldn't be the day of your wedding, you would have buried him right away. But on the other hand, you are delaying the mace. It's not a covenant mace. It's not like waiting for hesped. It's waiting for a potentially justified reason that can affect you, not really going to affect the mace. So the Rashba seems to understand that's also okay. That's not considered to be the issur deraisa of halalas hameis. So therefore, argues the Rashba, we would sanction something that we would normally never do. We're going to insist that you push off the levaya till tomorrow so that you can get the sheva bracha started and you don't even run into problems of avelos deraisa. La halacha, we don't have to follow this Rashba because we pask in halacha that Avelis and Rishon is only the Rabbanan. That's what we said already many times. The Rabban, the Shach, and Machriya, that we hold, like those Rishonim, that Avelis and Rishon is only the Rabbanan. Therefore, we have no problems. If such a scenario would happen, we would put the Kavur on hold, not until tomorrow. We put it on hold for a few hours. We would tell them to have a chuppah and be a Rishona. And then Sheva Brachas has kicked in. And then we would do the Kavur right away in the afternoon. It wouldn't bother us. But according to the Rashi, who's trying to defend those opinions that Avelis and Rishon is their eyes, that had come up with this razzle-dazzle idea, they were actually going to push the Kavur off literally until the next day. Going back to this basic halacha, the fact that we will jumpstart the Sheva Brachas, we'll put everything on hold till we jumpstart the Sheva Brachas. What is necessary to start the Sheva Brachas off? So the Gemara has a lashon, the machnisim es sechas v'sekal l'chuppah, that you bring them to the chuppah, means you do nisuin, and then bol bilas mitzvah. And then they have bia rishona, so together for the first time. And then, after that happens, then we can go ahead and bury the maize. So the question is, why is that necessary? Why is it necessary to have bia rishona as well? Once you have machnisim es sechas v'sekal l'chuppah, once they have nisuin, whatever nisuin means, the yichud romadu, the chuppah, whatever your definition of nisuin is, isn't that enough? Don't we assume that the Shivasi and Mishnah begin at that point of just the Suin itself? So there's some people who say, nope, you see that we're wrong in what we thought. That Shivasi and Mishnah only begin after Bir Rishona. There's no celebration until after Bir Rishona. That would be a tremendous chiddush. That would be true. That would impact on all of our Sheva Brachas. Yadua, that very often Bir Rishona doesn't take place in the first night for whatever reason. That doesn't always happen. So you're going to tell me you have to cancel Sheva Brachas until there's a Bir Rishona. So we usually assume, like the other post will say, no. Normally, once a couple gets married, once there's nisuin, this chuppah finished, that's they're called nisuin. So that's considered to be Sheva Brachas. The Sheva Shem Mishnah kick in. When they have beer, they'll have that beer whenever they get around to it. But in terms of the dinim of Sheva Shem Mishnah and Sheva Brachas, that begins immediately. Why does the Gemara say you have to have Bias Mitzvah? Because this is a very, very unique kind of Sheva Brachas. This is a Sheva Brachas that really shouldn't be happening. The guy's an oinim. The guy's about to be a novel. So for such a simcha, you need a real simcha. It's not enough to have the half-baked simcha of just the suin alone. You have to have there was a special tekaras lacham. It's got to be a simcha b'shleimusa. It's got to be the whole thing is done. They had the suin, they had be a rishayna, and their mamash living kish v'ishto. Then and only then you could say, okay, that kind of a tremendous simcha, that's enough to push off a velus. But for regular chasen v'kala, so you don't need such a high level of shemana davzim meyolim that anybody should be machmir that you can't start sheva brachas until they have a be a rishayna. We never heard of such a thing. So this is a unique halacha that appears here. Probably doesn't spill over to other areas. The Gemara says here. Yeah, the Gemara says that beferish bol bilas mitzvah. Right. The one says that pevol. You have to bol bilas mitzvah. Right.
Isn't that a kula
though? Right. It's a kula. Right. It's a kula. But right. Well, the question is, why did they need that kula?
No. What I'm saying, the pasha dvar is that
it's necessary. It's not just a kula that you have to have it. Otherwise, the whole thing doesn't kick in.
And if they don't have the Roshana that night.
Push off the kavur. We wouldn't recommend that. I don't know. The question is, there's a lot of lumbus. We said last week when we introduced the sugya, you can spend a month learning some yeshivas do. Those yeshivas that learn the beginning of ksubas. So again, those yeshivas that go to daf test the fake speakers, they don't learn the sugyas. But those yeshivas that talk about daf dalet also say spend weeks on all these sugyas of our yom rishon and sheir brachas. The question is any of this relevant lamaisa for us? Does any of this actually play out? So the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Dalet puts the brakes on this halacha in twofold. The Gemara says that first of all, this whole din only applies when the meal is all ready. So the Gemara says that you shechted ready the meat, and you already prepared the wine, and everything is all ready. The bread is baked, everything is all ready to go. So it's going to be a hefset if you don't have the Sheva Brachas right away. And then the Gemara adds another condition. The Gemara says that this is only true if it's meis aviv shel chasson, ima shel kala. It's not true just a person just one of the chasson or kala stam and avelus. It has to be. That's the father of the chassan who died, or the mother of the kala died. What's the difference? The Gemara explains that if the father of the chassan died, so then if we're not going to do the chassan now, we're going to throw everything out. Not only is it going to be hefsid mamon, it's going to be very hard to replicate. If the father of the chassan was the one who helped prepare. We already said that it's in the olden days it was the chassan side that paid for the entire wedding. That the Gemara says beferish maseches ksubos. The chassan paid for the whole wedding. What do you mean the chassan paid for the whole wedding? Chassan has so much money to pay for the wedding. It means his father paid for the whole wedding. So the Gemara says that if you're going to go ahead and throw all the food out and have them sit Shiva first and then run the chasen again in a month from now, the father's not around, so who's going to put together this chasen again? So it's going to be a double loss. It's going to be a loss in terms of hefsid mamon, and it's going to be a loss the fact that we're never going to get a proper chasen again. Or the Gemara says if it's a mesa ima shel kala, it's going to be the same problem, that if we're going to push the chasen off, we're going to have to throw out all the food. Can't stick anything to the freezer, so you have to throw out all the food. And it's also going to be very hard to replicate in the future because it was the mother of the kala who helped the kala get her dress ready, get her jewelry ready, get everything ready. So now you're going to start from scratch in a month from now. Who's going to do that? So it's a combination of those two factors, of base of shachas and base of kala, that led us to do this otherwise wild thing. The Gemara says, this is a wild kula. You're letting a couple go ahead and have tashvish together when they're in aninus, you're pushing off the avilus. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. It was a special tachanas achamim because of this unbelievable shasad chak, and it's both of these factors together that combine to create the shasad chak. So the Shach writes in the Chus Avelos that he thinks that based on this Gemara, this whole din doesn't apply anymore. He says that, what if you have a community, they have a chesed fund, they have a yisaybim fund, nebuch, there's a yosem, they'll help the yosem get married. So Shach says, my sibuchal yayim, we marry off yisaybim, who, not that the parents died that minute, the parents died 6 years ago, so we marry off yisaybim all the time. So says the Shach, b'zman hazeh, what do we have to do this for? So nebuch, if a terrible tragedy happens, if the person dies, we'll bury the base, we'll throw all the food out, there'll be a little bit of hefsid bubbles, so zahar, we have hefsid bubbles, and then we'll continue from scratch in a few weeks from now. So says the Shach, since we don't bizman hazeh, we have a system in place that prevents this tremendous tragedy of having nobody to be metapel for these children. So says the Shach, therefore this whole din shouldn't apply bizman hazeh. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that he thinks that the Shach doesn't apply bizman hazeh. So says Rav Moshe, he says this halach is having going up and down historically. So in the days of the Gemara, this din only applied under very, very unique circumstances. Meis av shalchos, im shalkalas, hafsid mamon. So Shach says bizman hazeh, the meis av shalchos, im shalkala category doesn't really exist. So Rav Moshe says, bizman hazeh, everything's changed. Why? He says, in the olden days, how much of a hefsid mamon was the chasna? How much was the whole chasna altogether? So you get the impression from the Gemara. They shechted an animal. They prepared, it's like making a barbecue. They shechted an animal. They prepared a little bit of wine. They baked a couple of challahs. And sure, that's the whole, like the fiddle on the roof, chasna. You bring your own chicken to the meal and sure. Bizman hazeh, says Rav Moshe, you're going to cancel a chasna at that morning. That morning, you're going to cancel a chasna. It's going to cost you $100,000. So says Rav Moshe, you're not going to get refunds from the caterers, from the flowers, from the tie, everything's going to cost you $1 million. So comes the motion and says, "Bizman hazeh, such a hefsed mamon that you don't even need that second factor that makes of shalchas im shalkala." The only reason why the Gemara said that you need a combination of those two factors is because it wasn't such a hefsed mamon. So it was a little bit of hefsed mamon. It was a little bit of the fact that the chasen won't be as pretty next time. That's enough to combine to give you a kula. So said Rav Moshe, "Bizman hazeh, forget the chasen of shalchasen. Stop. You can't cancel a chasen. It's impossible. You can't cancel a chasen. It's going to cost you too much money. So therefore, the show's going to have to go on anyway. You're going to have to go ahead and invoke this halacha lemais as well. We should hope and pray this halacha neves to be put into place, but in theory, Rav Moshe writes that we would actually practice this halacha even bizman hazeh.
Would you do a full wedding, like
all
three dances?
I don't know. This again, you gotta get the kfurin at some point. So, I don't know.
What's the status of the other
relatives? Yeah. Everybody else, yeah.
Show up at those for the wedding?
Okay, so this is a part of the notes. That's Ramosha, then another true Ramosha writes about the more common scenario than this wild case is that Nebuch, the couple's about to get married, and a grandparent dies, an uncle, somebody dies, which pushes one of the immediate relatives into the state of Avelis. And they're already in Avelis. They're already in the middle of sitting Shiva. So can the immediate relative come to the Chasana? So Ramosha writes that yes. Ramosha writes that a parent can come to a Chasana of a child, even if the parent's mom is in the middle of Shiva. This has happened, happens unfortunately once in a while. So Ramosha says, what's that based on? So that's based on a svar that we've said many, many times throughout Chas Avelis, that the Mishnah says in Brachas that istinus is allowed to take a shower. Why is it istinus allowed to take a shower? Because it's mamish in pain. Hilchos Avelos was instituted to curtail comfort and kinds of pleasure, but it was never instituted to cause a person physical pain, or it was never instituted to cause a person emotional pain. So the Mishnah says that if a person is mamish suffering, not taking a shower, he's allowed to take a shower. Well, we gave the Rishami's example. The Rishami says if a guy is suffering because he can't learn, so the Rishami says you're allowed to learn, even in the middle of Shiva. If you're mamish suffering, you're going crazy from not learning. The Beis Yosef writes that he didn't want to quote that Lahalach and Shulchan Aruch because he doesn't think anybody's up to that level of Yerushalmi. So the Rugged Shava said that the Beis Yosef didn't quote it. I'm telling you about himself, but he thought he was at that level. So the Rugged Shava, they say, used to, when he was sitting Shiva, he was sitting and learning. He said for him to stop learning would have caused him physical agony. So the psychological agony, physical, whatever you want to call it. So Rav Moshe writes, the same is true. If you're going to tell a parent not to go to the chasna of a child, That's not miyutanugim. That's not enjoying yourself. That's mamish painful. That's going to be mamish psychologically painful. So Moshe writes, it's mutter. The novel is not required to suffer such terrible pain. So Moshe writes, he's allowed to go to the chasra. He goes to the chasra. Should he stay for the third dance? I'm saying they can't tell you, but he should participate in whatever is necessary to make sure that he's not in terrible suffering, so the other would be permitted to do. Now, this becomes tricky. Depends on which of him does that refer to. Obviously, it refers to parents. Does it refer to other people? I mean, siblings maybe, okay. Uncles, I don't know. That becomes a case by case basis. But a person who's really really suffering emotionally from not participating in the wedding would be permitted to do so. So again, up until now, this was the Yotze Min HaKlal. This was the unique situation of a private Yom Tov that's interfering with Avelus, how the halachas play out. We really go back to the original sugya in terms of a regular Yom Tov. We have the Shalosh Regalim, or the Paskim HaShanah and Yom Kippur. So then we know that there are two ways that Yom Tovim interact with Avelus. If a person is Kovim Mesim HaRegel, if a person buries his mace on the Yom Tov or on the Chol HaMoed, so then the Avelus is put on hold. It's not actually observed in the full sense until after the Yom Tov. The count of Shiva doesn't begin until after the Yom Tov. We'll see what after the Yom Tov means. You have to preach from the Shana, that's really a different story. But the days of Shiva do not overlap with the days of Chol HaMoed itself, so everything is put on hold. Afal Pi Chein, we pass in the Halacha like the Ramban, that there is Avelus on Chol HaMoed in the sense of Avelus Shebitzina. Tvam Shebitzina Noyeg, it's less to observe the private form of Avelus, he really doesn't do anything outwardly, doesn't do anything in the Farhesia. That's the dinim in terms of Kovim Mesim HaRegel. The original din of Yom Tov interacting with Avelus, that's the Mishnah in my Katan. If a person began the Avelus from before Yom Tov, Yom Tov comes in, cancels the Avelus. So let's focus a little bit on that second halacha right now, the fact that not only is there no Avelus on Yom Tov, but Yom Tov actually cancels the Avelus. So what exactly does that mean, Yom Tov cancels the Avelus? So the Gemara has three different shaylas concerning that Mishnah, about Yom Tov canceling the Avelus. Lots of machlekes are throwing about all the above, and each one of the shalos we pass in the kula. So, what exactly is what are the issues? So, one issue that the Mishnah raises is, what do you mean that Yom Tov cancels the avelus? How far into the avelus is the person? Yom Tov to cancel it. So, the Mishnah actually quotes a opinion that we don't accept. The Mishnah quotes a Tana that says that the only time the Yom Tov cancels avelus is if the basic avelus has already been practiced. What does that mean, the basic avails has been practiced? It's already been for 3 days. We've seen this theme many, many times, that the first 3 days is the main part of the avails. The Gemara says that Shlosh Yom Lebechi, that's when the main crying is. After the third day, there are even certain kulas. We don't have, some people have taken those kulas out of context and said that it's only quote-unquote true for 3 days, but within Torah communities, obviously that doesn't exist. But Afal Pichein, there are certain detailed, limited, the differences between the first 2 days and the last 4 days. So there's one Tana in Maseches Brachot, which is the Stam Mishnah, that says that the only time the Yom Tov cancels Avelus is only if the Avelus has already been observed, at least for the full 3 days. Now you're on day five, so then Yom Tov can cancel the Avelus. So the Gemara quotes another Tana that disagrees and says, no, that as long as a person has started to observe the Avelus at all, even a little bit, very, very little bit, you know, Filiyom Mechad, Filiyom Sha'achas, that's also good enough for the Yom Tov to cancel the Avelus, and that's how we pass in the halacha. The Gemara says, halacha, kedivrei Rabbi Akiva Avil, whenever you have a machlokes, at least in Tanoim, about Ochas Avelus, so you always go the kula. So even though the Stam Mishnah is prekeret, we pass in the halacha like that Tana, that even if the Avelus started on Yom Tov, every Yom Tov itself would be good enough. The only thing is, it has to mamar start. So we spoke about this earlier in a little bit of a different context. What does it mean, has to start? It means the Avelus of the mamar should be noyeg Avelus before Yom Tov. There's some official formal niyeg of Avelus. What would that mean? Let's say you have a levaya very, very late in the afternoon, right before Yom Tov, so then let's say the mamash buried the mace a little around the buzzer, right before the sun goes down, and the avelim didn't even have a chance to take the shoes off, didn't do anything, so that's a problem. So then they were never knowing avelus, even though technically avelus started, since they weren't knowing avelus before Yom Tov, that would be a problem. So that's what the Rishonim write, that there used to be a problem sometimes when they were buried mace in Erev Yom Tov, so the base of Kvoros was far away from the town, so it was outside of the Tchum. So they were afraid to do the Levayas late in the afternoon on Erev Yom Tov, because then they would get stuck in the basic forest. They wouldn't be able to walk back. It would be a Tchumen problem. So sometimes it was late in the afternoon, the Rishonim described, they would send the Mesim with Goyim. Obviously we don't like to normally bury with Goyim, but Leis Breira, so they would send the Mesim with Goyim. So it would be late in the afternoon, and then they would the Avelim would turn back in effect. So we learned about this earlier, that whenever you're escorting a mace outside of the town, so then once the Avelim turned their backs, they reach the Shar'ir, they go to the gates of the city, they turn back, or the modern day equivalent, to go to the airport, then they turn back, so then the avail starts. So the Rishonim point out that if you do this, you better make sure that they turn back, that they, not only do they turn back before Yom Tov starts, make sure they get the shoes up before Yom Tov starts. Because if they dray around right before Shkia, and they don't get around to actually start the availus, so then they're in a big pickle. So then the entire availus didn't start yet. If it didn't start, then the Yom Tov didn't cancel the availus. If it didn't cancel the availus, then they have to start Shiv again if the Yom Tov is over. That's like Kovah Mesa Meregel. So if you're already invoking the principle of Yom Tov canceling availus, you have to make sure that the availus has actually started. I think we I don't know if we quoted it in the Avela Shira, we've quoted this before, that the Tziv has a tshuva about there was a woman who had a bench lech at Erev Yom Tov early, they started Yom Tov early, and then right after she bench lech, someone comes running in with a telegram that a relative had died in another city and was buried. So the question was, is that considered to be the starting of Avela? So is that considered to be like Kovah Mesa Beregel? Because Bahar Yom Tov already started, she was already bench lech, she was Mekabel Yom Tov. But you say, since the sun didn't set yet, so it's still considered to be like Kovah Mesa Erev Yom Tov, which Yom Tov canceled. So we spoke about this, it's a big machlokes that we've shown him, about Tezim Subas, about Simchus Yom Tov, is Mantosef is Yom Tov. So that's the Shaila. Do we have a right to say that even though you technically were Mekabel Yom Tov, but Yom Tov hasn't really started yet, so you can still observe Avelos, take off your shoes, sit on the floor for a minute, and now Yom Tov's going to cancel the Avelos. If you don't say that, then the person's going to be stuck observing Avelos for the entire week after Yom Tov. So there is a din that Yom Tov cancels Avelos, but you have to begin. So we don't require the beginning of 3 days, like the time of the Mishnah, but we do require a little bit of Fil Yomech and Fil Shachas.
No,
not even the shura, the avails. You take off your shoes. First, we'll take off your shoes in the cemetery itself. That's also considered to be the
mikvah. Take off their shoes even before the burial.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's also enough. Sit down on the floor, whatever, do something. We have this shaila, not so much in Rabbi Yom Tov. We have this very often at the end of the day. Let's say you have you bury a mace on 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so you want that day to count, so you should try to have some kind of a little bit of a nigah avails on that day. To really make it that, even if you didn't, it would probably count anyway, but it's hard sometimes to figure out what should the new avails be. So usually we say take off the shoes. You're right, the person's already not wearing shoes, so the stuff is sitting on the floor, even though sitting on the floor is not a real chiyuv.
At the cemetery.
Yeah.
But it's not jobs, they don't call it shkia, they give you most of the shvashos. Right.
Wait, we spoke about this.
You can't be so made up because you have to be.
Right, you can. You're stuck. You don't want to be American. You're standing in the cemetery in the middle of a Manish Marshals, right? Then the Mishnah tells us that when we say that Yom Tov cancels Avelos, so what that means is that Yom Tov cancels to whatever stage of Avelos the person is in. So if the person is in the middle of Shiva, Yom Tov cancels Shiva. If the person is in the middle of Shloshim, so then Yom Tov cancels Shloshim. The only thing Yom Tov doesn't cancel is Yud Beis Chodesh. Because the Rishonim say if it would cancel Yud Beis Chodesh, that would be a pretty silly Yud Beis Chodesh. You'd never have Yud Beis Chodesh. So Yom Tov always cancels whatever stage of Avelos you're at. So the Mishnah, the Gemara discuss, at what point do you say that the person has exited Shiva and is now in the status of a Shloshim? Let's say a person is buried his mace, and he's on the seventh day of Shiva, and that's Erev Yom Tov. Now comes Yom Tov. So what just happened? Did Yom Tov cancel Shiva, because he was technically still the first 7 days, or do you say that the Shloshim already started? So the Mishnah says that that's not good enough, that since it's still in the first 7 days, so that's Yom Tov cancelling Shiva, that's not Yom Tov cancelling Shloshim. The Gemara quotes a Talmud that disagrees and says, no, Yom Shvi Olo Lekan Lekan, that the seventh day of Shiva counts both as Shiva and as Shloshim. We apply the rule of Mikta Siyam Kukulo. So Mikta Siyam Kukulo means that the Shiva is basically over in the morning of the seventh day. So once the Shiva is over, he's now entered into Shloshim. Once he's entered into Shloshim, then Yom Tov can cancel a Shloshim. So even though that was also Mechlekes HaTanoim, we pass in the Kulo. That one also. So far we're good. Look at the make mother. Look at the bills. Collect all the coolers. So we pass in that. You don't need a full 3 days to cancel Shiva, and you don't even need a really Shloshim to cancel Shloshim. As long as you finish the Shiva in the morning, so you already entered into the realm of Shloshim. Then the Gemara is the third Shaila. That when we speak about Yom Tov canceling Avelos, what does that mean? Does that mean that Yom Tov cancels Avelos Lagamre, and you don't have to continue after Yom Tov? Or does Yom Tov cancel Avelos? It doesn't mean it cancels Avelos. It means it puts it on hold. It's the guy's in the middle of Shiva, so Yom Tov comes. So we say to him, okay, you don't have to observe Avelos on Yom Tov itself, and you pick up the count when Yom Tov's over. So the Gemara quotes one opinion like that Yom Tov gives you the right to do certain things right before Yom Tov, but in terms of the count of the Avelos, so you continue right where you left. left off. So the Gemara says we don't pass like that either. We pass that Yantav cancels Avelos, and Mamash cancels Avelos. So we have Mamash 0 for 3 in this one. So we, 3 for 3 in this one. We're 0 for 3 against the Mishnayos. We pass like all the Tanoim and the Braises, every Kula under the sun, Rav Shimon, Rav Shol, everybody in the Braises. We pass in the Kula that Yantav cancels the Kama, you don't have to continue afterwards. Even the seventh day counts, Olo Lakan Lakan, you don't need 3 days. If you're Yomech, Vishal Achas, everything cancels in terms of Yantav. When we speak about Yontif canceling Avelos, so when exactly in Yontif does Yontif cancel Avelos? It's a little bit of a funny thing because Yontif cancels Avelos, but Yontif doesn't start until the nighttime. So we touched on this a little bit earlier. So what do the words mean? So all the Rishonim point out that we get contradictory messages from Chazal about this topic. Chazal speak about Yontif canceling Avelos, but use two different phrases. So in one place, the Gemara says that if a person's in the middle of Shiva and Yantiv comes, so then the Shiva's cancelled, Rochetz Ba'erev, where the Gemara says that he washes, he bathes himself at night. That's the Lashon Gemara. So Rochetz Ba'erev, that sounds like you're taking the shower on Yantiv itself. Ba'erev means how much when Yantiv starts, which would make a lot of sense. The Yantiv cancels Avelos, so it cancels Avelos once the Yantiv comes. You can't take a shower at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not Yantiv yet. That's what it sounds like. So Rashi on the spot is just quick to say, yeah, that's what it means. Rochetz Be'erev. So Rashi starts the wheels turning. He says, wait a second, how can I take a shower in Yontif? That's unheard of, take a shower in Yontif. So you got to learn the whole sugya in the second Brech of Beitza, third Brech of Shabbos, when you're allowed to take a shower, not allowed to take a shower, it's a cold shower, whatever factors go into solving the bathing and showering on Yontif dimension of the Shaila. We're not going to talk about that now. We try not to talk about that ever. But that's what I have the Masorah from Rabbi Williger this one. So remember one year, it was Rosh Hashanah, you know, a 3-day Yontif for season. So people were shepherding him for the whole month to talk about the showering on Yontif. So he finally conceded on Shabbos Brachos. He gave the Shia that. I think no one will remember by the next Yontif what he said. So there are issues, a lot of issues of showering on Yontif, both of Bizman Chazal and Bizman Hazeh. But suffice it to say, the Rashi says you can get around some of those issues. You take a cold shower, you figure an eight out to take a shower. The Rashi says, Rochetz Be'erev, you have to take a shower at night because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Yontif hasn't arrived yet. The only problem is that the Mishnah speaks about if a person is in Shloshim, so then Yontif cancels Shloshim. What does that mean? Megalech, Erev HaRegel. So the Mishnah says he shaves on Erev Yontif. So he's shaving on it normally, Shloshim, not allowed to shave. But if that applies to Aviv Imo, that's a different story. But let's say, make it simple, a regular relative. So when if he's in the middle of Shloshim, comes Yontif, so he's Megalech, Erev HaRegel. What do you mean Megalech, Erev HaRegel? How could you be Megalech, Erev HaRegel? Yontif didn't come yet. So the same way we don't let you take a shower on Erev Yontif, how can we let you shave on Erev Yontif? So that's the problem that all the Rishonim deal with. So there are a few different solutions to this problem. So some of the Rishonim, Tosfos quotes a whole list of different roots and discussions. Some of the Rishonim say that the difference is between Isurei Shiva and Isurei Shloshim. Isurei Shiva are more chamur. So therefore, we don't want to let the Shiva be cancelled until Yontif Mamar starts. So we're going to insist that you take a shower dafka at night. You have to figure out how to do it with cold water, etc. But when it comes to Isurei Shloshim, such as not shaving, that's a much more lenient prohibition. So that prohibition will look the other way. Even Erev Yontif is good enough. We'll let you get a haircut a few hours before Yontif actually kicks in. That's what some Rishonim say, that it's a halachic distinction based on the fact that one emanates from the more serious aspects of Hilchos Avelos. Other Rishonim say it has nothing to do with Hilchos Avelos. It has to do with the pure technical problem. The technical problem is, if we're going to give you a great cool, we're going to say to you, Yontif's going to cancel your Shloshim, and we're going to let you shave, but please just wait until Yontif starts to shave. I can't shave now, I'll take a haircut on Yontif. So that's going to be tantamount to say Yontif didn't cancel the Avelos. So Leis Breira, Chazal don't have a choice. We want you to be in to look nice for Yontif. So we want the Avelos to be gone. That's it. We want Avelos to be over when Yontif kicks in. So, when it comes to washing, so we have an Eitzah for you. So we'll tell you, listen, why do you have to take a shower in the middle of the day when your Avelos is still no egg? Wait till after Yontif starts. Go to shul. You come home from shul. After dark, go take a quick shower. You'll figure out how to take a cold shower. This year, you figure out an eighth how to take a shower. When it comes to shaving and haircuts, we're going to tell you, come to shul, have a buyer, and then go to Chubby's to get a haircut. You're not going to get a haircut on Yontif. So it's going to lace Brera. So we have to jump the gun and let you do it a little bit early. So those are two different approaches that some of you Rishonim give to try to explain away this seeming distinction. Why, when it comes to showering, we seem to push it off till the night. When it comes to shaving, so we let you do it even before yom. So Tosfos then quotes another opinion. Tosfos writes, "No, that we misunderstood what the phrase be'erev means in the first place. That's, we asked the kasha based on a mistake." So says to us, Be'erev doesn't mean after dark. Be'erev means late in the afternoon. Be'erev means otot, right before Yontif, you can go jump in to take a shower. You don't have to wait until night and go take a cold shower, back shower. Take a regular shower, just wait Be'erev. Why? Because you're technically still in the middle of Shiva. It's not the seventh day of Shiva. If it's the seventh day of Shiva, then the day was canceled in the morning. It's the third day of Shiva. It's the fifth day. It's the sixth day of Shiva. So the guy's really in the middle of Shiva. So it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he knows Yontif is around the corner, so he wants to take a shower. So we say to him, don't take a shower yet. Wait, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Yeah. Take a shower right, like most people do on a regular Erev Yontif. Take a shower at the last minute. If you take a shower at the last minute, that way at least you just Otot finished up the Avelos. And now the halacha is that Yontif, right before it starts, is able to cancel the Avelos. You shouldn't wait, you shouldn't do it earlier in the daytime. That's what the Erev means. And therefore there's no stira. So that's exactly when you're supposed to Megalech as well. So you Megalech late in the afternoon as well. So this now leads to a chumrah, because according to all the other opinions, that rechitza you weren't allowed to do until the night time, but giluach you're allowed to do mibiyod yom. When is mibiyod yom according to the other opinion? Anytime you want. It could be 3 o'clock, it could be 6 o'clock, it could be 8 o'clock, whenever you had a chance to get a haircut, that would be okay. But according to this view of Tosfos now, that there never was a difference between Giluach and Rechitz. It's all the same. And when the Mishnah says Begalech would be Od Yom, that doesn't mean 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That means 7:30 at night, right before Shkia. So that's the same as Rechitza. So it comes out of Chumra now, according to it's a Kula and a Chumra. The Kula is that you don't have to wait until dark to take a shower. The Chumra is you have to take a haircut and shave, Otot right to the last second. So that's basically we're knowing. That's what the Poskim quoted in the Ramadli's quotes, that we have a minute, Beim Kula Beim Chumra, that if a person is in the middle of Shiva and Yontif cancels the Avelos, so we let him take a shower. We don't make him wait until the night time to take a shower, but we tell him to take a shower right before he runs out to Shul. But the chumra is, if a person is in the middle of shloshim and Yontif cancels, so you should also take he can take a haircut, he can shave, but he has to wait until otot right to the end. When it comes to a haircut, it's going to be hard to tell him to wait till the end. He's going to find a barber. Let's say a shavu is done. You tell him to wait till 8:30 to take a haircut, and it's not going to happen. So whatever he takes. But when it comes to shaving, so the poskim say, you should tell the person to shave late in the day. That's what some poskim write. That if a person's in the middle of shloshim and Yontif comes, they cancel their avelos, so they should really try to daven mincha beforehand. They should try to, whatever they can do beforehand to make the day almost end, so they should try to be done. So I had that when I was in shloshim, the shavuos came, so it was a whole shout about the shaving. Hold together, that you go, whatever, we're makel to shave. But I remember that day, I went to daven, I was looking for an early mincha on Erev Shavuos, so I went to the Chaf Kei that day. Sometimes on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, they don't always have a minion. But, on Erev Shavuos, it was a long day. I was the 10th guy. So because of this Chumra, I was mashed in the minion that day. So I remember I down for the Yom that day in the Chafkei, the 145, whatever it was. And then, it's out of whatever time Shkia was, 8:10, whatever, 8 o'clock, whatever it was. You can't start shaving at 5 to 8. Especially if you haven't shaved in 3 weeks, it takes you a while to shave. So I remember the 7th day, whatever, whenever I made a cheshbon, how much time I needed to shave. So that's what the din is, that's what the Ramah's chumra. So again, according to the other Rishon, you don't have to do that. According to the other Rishon, Megalech Bayom is mutter. But according to the Ramah's chumra, the way to salvage the Lashon of Erev is to say that Chazal insisted on waiting till later in the day, so that would turn out to be a chumra here as well. The only possible exception, as we also mentioned in the past, was an Erev Pesach. So many poskim write, an Erev Pesach, one doesn't have to wait until late in the afternoon, because an Erev Pesach, the Erev Pesach itself is considered to be a Yontif. Not everyone agrees to this, but some poskim say the Erev Pesach itself, after Chatzos, as man comes from Pesach, it's in the Simulacha, so there are aspects of real Yontif to it, so then one wouldn't have to wait. That's how I think most practice. They had that. I mentioned this also. It was a tragic shiloh a few years ago. One of my tamida was nifta right before the day before Erev Pesach. So the levaya was Erev Pesach in the morning. So they wanted to have some kind of a shiva, something. Because otherwise Yontif would have canceled the whole thing. So they actually were observing shiva in the afternoon on Erev Pesach. Because the fellows came right. It's a machlokes whether there's a veilus on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, whether it's really considered to be a Yontif or not. So we say halacha divrei mekel ba'avil. Halacha divrei mekel ba'avil doesn't mean you have to be mekel. You want to be machmer. So they told them they should actually observe a little bit of Avelos in the afternoon. That way they could have some degree of Shiva. People come in to visit a little bit. But Me'ika Mikra Din, so there really wouldn't be Avelos on Mitam Sofek, Mitam Kula. There would not really be Avelos in our place in the afternoon.
So you really hold the job, but then you just push all throughout the day.
No, I think what Amai said, the Tvura was before Chatzos. So they did technically start a little bit of Avelos. So if they wouldn't have wanted to observe Avelos, so we would have just said to them that sit Shiva for 10 minutes and shine.
The Tvura went 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so then you would have a minute, you would wait till after Pesach.
So then we would have a right to turn around and be making the other direction. Right. We would say that, well, it's probably not Yontif, so then you have, right.
But then
you have
to sit Shiva.
So that's a further shalak. Can you say hello? Can you make love and talk to the sasra? That's a machlekes rishonim about that. Yeah. Anyway, so I'll call upon him. So we pass in all the kulos and because yantif. The yantif has the ability to cancel everything. Hopefully, let's Hashem. Next week, we'll try to continue with when yantif doesn't always cancel shiva. It doesn't always cancel shloshim. When it cancels shiva, then shloshim is still intact. How does yantif impact on the county of shloshim? It's a whole new part. So from next week.